too late, Brock Skeller mumbled, unsure if he was talking to himself or the approaching storm as he drove down the highway. He had arrived within sight of the town in an MRAP. The massive military truck with six wheels could withstand a roadside bomb. A second vehicle followed, containing Carmen Santora, a Spanish beauty, and Mouse, a stiff-lipped, squirrely woman with short hair and a perpetual layer of dirt on her skin. They were the last remaining survivors of the mission that claimed two members of the extractors. And now, the lack of timeliness meant they were to blame for Deep Vale's demise. It wasn't the fire that killed off the town. It was the dead. A herd, 600 strong, descended the nearby freeway and overran the community. Its sheet metal walls and chain-link gates had been unable to hold back the horde. But as images of the town's residents flashed through his mind, Brock questioned his feelings for the town. Did he really care? He had only met them a few weeks prior. Instantly, his subconscious answered him, "Of course he did. They needed him. And he promised to be there for them." Brock was a telekinesis user, one of the best, and a retired commander of the United Militarized Front, the UMF. Just like the missiles that destroyed the country, Brock was a weapon, a relic, but a weapon still. As he stood atop the MRAP, Mouse motioned to him from the roof of the truck behind him. At first, he couldn't see what she was pointing at, but as he scanned the town from left to right, something moved near the western fence. Brock squinted, his eyes catching a bit of movement, and his heart swelled. A black truck with its headlights on was driving along the fence line, towing a cattle trailer. He didn't hesitate, almost jumping through the turret hole on top of the vehicle and scrambling into the driver's seat. He fired up the engine and floored the gas, willing the armored vehicle to move faster. The heavy-duty engine rattled and shook, billowing black smog behind it, but eventually gained speed as it went on. Not checking to see if Carmen was following him, Brock focused on the truck and keeping its headlights in view. The road would lead him directly to the front gates of the town, but about a mile ahead, it split through the bleak landscape and stretched parallel to the highway. Once out of the shadows of the overpass, Brock cut the wheel hard to the left, not waiting for the intersection, and instead chose to meet the truck and its passengers. In his mind, he imagined all the town's residents piled together into the trailer. He imagined the doctor sitting in the front seat of the truck because he was pretentious and thought highly of himself. Imagined Austin, the kid who was also a telekinetic, riding in the bed of the truck, eager to protect his friends. But most of all, he imagined the children, a mess of them, holding on tight to the bars of the trailer, playfully thinking it was a fun time. Then, as the wondrous, hopeful visions crossed his mind, he imagined how he would feel if any of what he hoped for didn't happen. If people didn't make it to safety or got caught in the fire or got bitten. His thoughts of the worst possible things flashed faster than he could prepare himself for, and he panicked. Though the truck would not go any faster, he jammed his foot harder against the accelerator, white-knuckled the steering wheel, and sat up so his back was off the seat. "Come on, come on, come on! Go faster, you piece of shit!" It lumbered on, its top speed somewhere between 45 and 50. The truck was designed for durability and torque instead of speed and maneuverability. It was a painful drive. And up ahead, the black truck approached, its headlights appearing as two blips of light on an otherwise dark landscape. The earth became uneven with small rolling hills like oversized graves, but Brock didn't slow. He needed to know they were all right. He needed to fulfill his promise to Austin and give his mother his rations. He needed to give the doctor the research he had gathered from the facility. He needed to tell everyone what had happened to Rickers and Carter. He needed to give them hope.